The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
For us, we are open to them and we are blessed by you in Jesus' name. Let's be seated. Hallelujah! Glory to God, amen. You know, at the time I was feeling like we should have just ignored these sanitation people, amen, because there was movement everywhere. For as well. Amen. So let's get straight to the word. So I'll start this morning on making your relationships work. Making your relationships work. I'd like you to be here with everything in you to pay as much attention as you can. Okay? Because meetings like this can be defining moments. Meetings like this can be defining moments for you. They can be defining moments for you. I tell you, like last night, we were talking about masculinity and all that. You know, it was when I was getting set for this meeting that I started remembering some meetings I attended some years back that I heard these kind of things I'm sharing with you. And I started remembering where I picked these things from. Some of them, I'm telling you, 6 years ago, some of them 8 years ago, and they define some things. So meetings like this can be defining moments, and so you don't take them for granted. Hallelujah. So make your relationships work. Father, we thank you and we receive your word upon good ground. We receive with clarity and understanding the word of God, and I declare that answers are given, needs are met in the name of Jesus. Now, we are products of relationships. And that is not the believer only. That is everybody. You are where you are today because of the relationships in your life. And where you are tomorrow, okay, is determined by the relationships you have around your life. You know, they normally say, show me your friend and I'll tell you who you are. And it's true. You see, your friends, your relationship, the relationships around your life can make you and they can mar you. They can destroy you. And so whether you are deliberate about relationships or not, you are a product of your relationships. Are you getting me? For instance, we're talking about fatherhood yesterday. You are where you are today for most guys because of the kind of father your father was to you. Whether you know it or not. Are you following me? You are where you are. You know, there are some people, some guys, when you get to the second session, I will address this. Some people are afraid of life because of the kind of fatherhood they saw when they were growing up. And it has impacted them forever. And so, if you learn to maximize the gift of, you know, we normally say, man is God's method, you know, right? God is the source. Man is the channel. Amen? Everything you are going to receive on earth, God gives it, but it will come through the instrumentality of man, from spiritual to physical, everything. And so if you don't know how to maximize the gift of men in your life, you are going to struggle a lot. Even what we call spiritual growth is by the instrumentality of men. You know, right? It takes men to help us grow spiritually. The men will find in the local church. What we call business success, the same thing. What we call every kind of success, it rides on. So if you know how to use the gift of men in your life, and find out, and again, how to shield yourself from the wrong kind of people. Do you realize, some of you, when you read the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, you know, we call them the pastoral epistles. A major part of that, of those books, was spent Paul spent it telling Timothy who he mustn't talk to. Have you observed that? He was mentioning people he mustn't talk to. mentioning people you should not interact with. In fact, he got to a time, he started calling names. Remember? He mentioned Hymenaeus, he mentioned Alexander. He was calling people. He said, that guy, because if he just leaves Timothy like that, the guy is going to flop. And it will be because of the kind of people he has surrounded himself with. So I'll begin to talk about relationships this morning. Because they are the things that will make you. You must manage your relationships well. They are assets. You see, your relationships can be, they can carry the answer and the breakthrough you are looking for. They can also carry the breakdown you detest. Are you what I'm saying? Your relationships can carry the breakthrough you are looking for or the breakdown you detest. People are, you know, I was saying something yesterday. I was talking about how men love to fraternize. Remember that? Men love fraternity. Men love to be in groups. And that's what Satan is taking advantage of and is introducing cult groups and all that. Remember I said that yesterday? And because men love being in groups. That's why you notice Chelsea fans, Man U fans, Liverpool, men just love that kind of thing. They love groups. I don't get the point. They love groups. It's natural with men. They just want to, I was telling you guys, even if you want to do G or you want to do Yahoo, there's still a group for it. You can't just be going like that. Everything is in groups. Satan knows that too. So if you look at cult groups, why do men easily join cult groups? Because they feel they belong when they're part of a certain fraternity. I get what I'm talking about. So Satan knows that. So he's introducing the wrong groups. So if you don't know how to handle your relationship well, you are going to crash. You are going to crash. And you will struggle. And it's not because God has not given, it's because you didn't manage it well. I'll talk about some relationships you need in your life. First relationship every man needs. I'm talking about men now. Every man needs. Is that every man needs a father. And there are three kinds of fathers that every man needs. One, I started yesterday, every man needs a heavenly father. Every man needs a heavenly father. And that's where we'll talk about salvation. Every man needs to have a father in God. He needs to have God as father. He needs to have God as father. 1 John chapter 3, from verse 1, we learn that we are God's sons. You know, we are the sons of God. 1 John 3, verse 1, let's put it up. Hallelujah. So every man needs a father in God. He said, put up King James. He said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And, you know, I need to say this. You already know it. I want to remind you that everybody on earth are not automatically God's children. You know, right? People say, like, God is everybody's father. No. Everybody on earth are not automatically God's children. It takes being born again to become a child of God. Now, don't get it wrong. Everybody on earth is a creation of God. But everybody on earth is not a child of God. Okay? We are all creations of God. God created us. He is our creator. He's not everybody's father. Although he seeks to be everybody's father. Amen? He wants to be everybody's father. But he is not everybody's father. What makes you a child of God is to be saved. To receive the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. To receive Jesus into your life, as we say, as your savior. That's why you realize that throughout the Old Testament, you will not see anybody call God Father. Did you observe that? You won't see anybody, not even Abraham. They won't call God Father. Because in the Old Testament, fatherhood, God being a father, is a concept of the New Testament. Are you getting the point? It was when Jesus died and rose that we can now call God Father. That was why the first crime Jesus committed when he came to the earth was calling God his father. The Jews didn't, they couldn't understand that. How can you call God Father? Amen? When they saw Father appear in reference to God in the New Testament, when this guy was prophesying, was it Isaiah or so? He said, I will be to them a father. And so it was in the future. How can this guy just come and suddenly start calling God Father? And when Jesus was about to die in the book of John chapter 20, when he has died and risen, John chapter 20, he told them, I go to my father and your father. So we're going to show them that that God that is my father has become your father too. Amen. Every man needs a father in God. And that's what we begin to talk about, being born again and having a working relationship with God as father. In case you don't know, God is our father. And God is a good father. And you must have a working relationship with God as a father. In fact, the way I like to say it, I believe that every man on earth, in your families, you are a caretaker. God is the father. God asks you to take care of those children. If you don't have him as your father, you are going to struggle. And the beautiful thing about being a pastor and being a father over many people, spiritual fatherhood now, is that I know that I have a spiritual father and I have a father in God too. So when things get very tough, I can talk to him. Are you following me? I can talk to him because he is my father, and it's because he's my father that I can father you. Are you following me? And so every man needs a father in God. Another kind of father every man needs a biological father. Every man needs. Somebody will say, well, everybody has a biological father. Well, no, that's not true. Every man needs a biological father, you see, to be presently involved in their life. Painfully, this is not so in many places. That's why I'm doing this teaching. And that's why as I'm talking, if you see where your parents have failed, you can vow not to fail in those places. I know what I'm talking about. Are you getting me at all? I was explaining to you guys yesterday how a male child gets to a certain age and does not see any woman. Remember I said that yesterday? When a male child gets to 14, 15, even his mother, if he's respecting the mother, he's just well trained. I get the point. He doesn't see the mother. That's why I told you guys in secondary school, the senior wants to punish him. He says, the senior is a lady. The senior says, need him. He says, we've seen a lady. That's the most important thing. It's a woman. But that's where fatherhood comes in. That's where biological fatherhood comes in. You see, every man needs a biological father that is around. And the kind of father I'm talking about, a father must be around. Remember I told you guys yesterday, my pastor used to say, he said, when Jesus said, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, he said, every father, your children must know where you are. I get the point. Your children must be able to know that this is where you are. Fathers should not be absent. They should be involved in their children's life. Presently involved. You see, this thing that raising children is for women. No. 1,000 times no. Raising children cannot be for the women. They have a role to play, a major role to play. But you see, when we begin to talk about child training, not in this manner, when we begin to talk about child training in other sessions of this meeting we're going to have, you will find out that there are different stages in a child's life and the mother and the father have different roles to play at those different stages. For the boy, for the girl. There's an age in a lady's life, a girl's life, she needs her father more than her mother. I know what I'm talking about. She needs her father more than her mother. At that point, that's how you raise confident women as your children. Amen? That's how you raise women that a boy cannot just come and tell them story and their head is spinning. Because their father was there raising them and telling them those stories. I get the point. And so every man is a biological father. And if your father was not present or you lost your father early, sorry. But I'll still tell you how to fix that. But biological fatherhood is something every man needs. If a father can be a leverage. Some people say things like, it doesn't matter where you are born. What matters is where you are going. That's not fully true. It matters where you are born. No. It matters who gave birth to you. I hope you know. Who gave birth to you is why you went to that school you went to. Who gave birth to you is why you are at this level now. Who gave birth to you is why you are not driving G-Wagon. Who gave birth to you? That is why you are where you are now. So don't say it doesn't matter. It matters who gave birth to you. Who gave birth to you is why you are on the streets now, hustling. Who gave birth to you is the reason why your life is moving the way it is moving. It's just that you cannot remain there. You cannot keep complaining. You can change it. Amen? A father can be a leverage, big time leverage. And that's the kind of father you should be for your kids. That's why you should put your foot on the ground and begin to do something reasonable with your life now. Because a father can be a very big leverage. A very big leverage. And so, we talk about biological fatherhood. You notice the Bible will tell us in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know, the reason is because when children honor their fathers, biological fathers can shape the life of their children. We were saying this, look at this, when I was talking about the partition. Isaac shaped the life of Esau and Jacob. It was not their spiritual father, it was their biological father. I get the point. Jacob shaped the life of his 12 children, biological fatherhood. So when a biological father plays his role well, it can change the life of a child forever. Are you following me? Are you still here? It can shape the child's life. So he said, obey your parents in the Lord, honor your father and your mother. He says, for this is right. So this is the first, which is the first commandment with a promise. He was talking about the Old Testament. The first commandment that came with the promise in the Old Testament is about honoring your father and your mother. What is the promise it came with? Long life. Amen? That you may live long, that you may be well with it, and that you may live long on end. When you learn to honor your father and your mother, they can shape your life. They can speak, and it follows you. And that's where biological fatherhood comes in. So every man needs a biological father. Hallelujah. Even though some fail at it, and some of our parents have failed at it, some of them are even present, but they were present as masquerades. You couldn't stand them. And that's not what fatherhood is. I hope you know. Let me give you something for free. I'm not going to talk about fatherhood now, how you can father people, but let me say this. I'll do this in spiritual fatherhood, and I believe this will help in biological fatherhood. I believe that the model father is God. Amen? Just like the model marriage is Christ and the church. So if I, how to father my kids will be to look at how God fathers me. Amen? You look at the fatherhood of God and you translate it to father your children that same way. Which is why I don't think it is right that your child commits crime and you mess him up. Because that's not how God deals with us. Are you following me? And that's how male children start spoiling. As some of you know, it is true. And so, some failed at it, but truth is, you need a biological father. If you have one that is still alive, okay, some of you might need to go back and repair your relationship with your parents, with your father. Try and fix it. I'll talk about it in the healing the parental relationship. In healing the male child. Go and fix it. And some of them need to speak words over your life. But every man is a biological father. Thirdly, every man needs a spiritual father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible, Paul told them, you might have 10,000 instructors. He said, but you have only one father. He now said to them, I became your father in the gospel. So every man needs a spiritual father. The beautiful thing about spiritual fatherhood is this, that the errors and the gaps created by biological fatherhood can be fixed up by spiritual fatherhood. Are you following me? I've seen it happen many, many times. I've seen people come under me. You see them, they are battered from their homes. It is from the church fatherhood that begins to shape them and begins to put into them what their biological fathers couldn't put into them. So the gaps created by biological fatherhood, spiritual fatherhood can make up for it. I was giving an example yesterday of some men in the Bible, people like Levi, people like Reuben, that their biological father cursed. Remember that? And then the spiritual father stepped up and fixed the curse. So the gaps you find in biological fatherhood can be sorted by spiritual fatherhood. Everybody needs a father. And this fatherhood thing works better in a local church. That's why everybody needs to be in a local church and commit to the fatherhood relationship that exists in the local church. And not just answering spiritual father for the sake of answering spiritual father, like who is the spiritual father, say it's this or is that. It's as in committing to spiritual fatherhood for what it really is. And what does it mean to commit to spiritual fatherhood? Very simple. You follow the man, follow his teachings, follow his instructions. It can make up for failures. First thing it does is that it enhances your spiritual life. Any man committed to spiritual father, like committed, not like saying, I have, that's my father, committed to it, his spiritual life cannot go down. Because somebody is watching over it. I get the point. So every man needs to commit. And I say this all the time. I'll say this again. I believe that men need fathers more than they know. Guys need fathering more than they know. You know, there is something about guys. That once they get a certain age in their life, they believe nobody should be advising them. Amen? It's in every guy. They just believe, why would they take? I just know what I can do. No. Men need fathering more than they know. They do. Men need spiritual fatherhood more than they know. Some of you that know my stories with, I had made some commitments, not commitments, I had followed one or two people for spiritual fatherhood. fatherhood, and East went somehow. So for a long period of my Christian life, I didn't, wasn't doing anything spiritual. I was just living my life. Amen? But the Lord said to me, I can't forget that. He said, see, you need a spiritual father. He said, when the time, he said, I'm going to lead you, but you must commit to one. Amen? I didn't commit to spiritual fatherhood because I already was pastoring. Are you following me? Every man needs spiritual fatherhood and follow, and that he will follow and take instructions from. It's not outdated. You don't realize that when you read the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, you find different instructions, down to even health instructions, like things like take little wine for your stomach. You know that? Petty instructions. Treat other women. Who was he talking to? He was talking to Timothy. Who was Timothy? Timothy was a man. Notice in chapter 3, he began to teach him how to ordain bishops. Do you remember that? If any man said up to the bishop, he said it's a good thing, see what to look out for. So Timothy was ordaining bishops. Timothy was ordaining deacons. So such a big pastor, big man of God, that was in a position to ordain bishops, to ordain deacons, was still taking instruction as small as don't take too much wine. Don't take holy water, take wine. Health instructions. I didn't get the point. So the bigger you grow in life, the more you need fatherhood. And that's the truth. The bigger you grow in life, the more you need fatherhood. So every man needs a spiritual father. He keeps your spiritual life. And I tell you, the reason many people make mistakes is because spiritual fatherhood is not in place, or they are not maximizing it. You know, I was talking about it 2 days ago when I was talking about addiction. One of the ways to break free from addiction is to be accountable to the last. Accountability to the point that you are thinking of making a mistake. You're already talking about it to your pastor. Have you realized that, you know, every mistake you discuss with your pastor, you don't make it. The one you discuss won't make it. You know, some people don't like talking about it. After they've made it, they now come back. No, you see, there is that accountability system. You find that all over the Bible. And even when you've made the mistake, people talk about it, it will keep you in shape. So, to talk about every man needs it, it will help you stay strong spiritually. You see, as we begin to grow as men, listen to me. Responsibilities can come, and they come. And I told you, to be a man alone, the burden on your shoulder is enough. You have to be a good person, a good businessman, a good husband, a good father. Everything good. This is the reason why men, as they grow, they begin to detach themselves from church. Have you observed that? That's why you go to churches, you see 2015 women in church. You find 15 men that will come. Praise God. It's all over the place. Why? Because, you know, as they begin to grow, the man said, he loves God though. You know how you know he loves God? He can wake up in the morning and pursue everybody to church. I don't get the point. He will pursue, but he starts home. After the whole weekend, let me rest. It's only when, but such a person is committed to spiritual fatherhood. No. He knows he's accountable to someone. It will keep him strong when that time comes. I don't get the point. There are some of my sons in this place that know that if I am not in their life now, amen? If I'm not in their life involved actively now, some of them will not be doing this. And they say, just that sometimes, you know, you can explain to God, God will not see you, but you can't explain to me. Hello, where are you? Sir. And you need that. I said something to you. It doesn't reduce you. Amen. We open my phone and go to my messages. You and go to my music. You will see there's that's what you normally see on my phone. Gist with dad. 1, 2, 3. Every conversation I have with my spiritual father is on record. Every call. I lost one of them when I lost the other phone. Every call is on record. And once in a while I play them like message. Just give it that I'm listening to. You know, because those instructions, there is safety there. I get the point. There is safety there. And I tell you what, I can never outgrow it. And may I never outgrow it. Amen? May I never outgrow it. You know, when I say, we're talking about Bishop Oyedepo now when we're coming in. When I see Bishop Oyedepo, you know Bishop Oyedepo now, right? As big as he is, What is that one doing with spiritual fatherhood? He still goes to submit to Pastor Deboy. At that level. I don't get the point. And you see some guys, some even not even pastors, some wealthy guys that are believers. I'm not talking about all these crazy people. They still follow fatherhood to the last because you find safety there. Do you know why? If you don't have a spiritual father, that is how much, if you're not in ministry, for instance, if you don't have a spiritual father, that is how much money that can enter your hand. You stop going to church. Do you get the point? You need some level of confidence. That's why in church, you don't pass through church. You commit in, you commit to church. If not, if you just allow your life, you can become so rich and become so busy. Before you know, you're now beginning to see yourself like a financial partner in church. So if they have need, they should call you. And you will give. You are losing your spiritual life. And so everyone needs a spiritual father. So first of all, I said everyone needs a father. A heavenly father. A biological father, a true father. Secondly, every man needs a mentor. Every man needs mentors, not a mentor. Mentors. Mentors. That two different kinds of mentors I'm going to talk about this morning. There are spiritual mentors. You find it in this verse. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ. So he said, in Christ Jesus, every man needs, the Bible says 10,000, but he says 10,000. That means you can have many. I get the point. In this church, for instance, in Platform of Grace, I am a spiritual father to everybody that is a member here. What your center pastors and ministry heads are your mentors. You need a lot of them. I get the point. You need a lot of them. They will help you. Mentors play some kind of roles. Okay? Like they can, sometimes a mentor comes into your life to help your prayer life. I don't get the point. I have a spiritual father, but I have many people like, many mentors. Of course, can't be a lead pastor if you don't have many mentors. Because this pastor thing is not easy. Amen. You need a lot of mentors in your life. Mentors play a lot of roles. Some will come to help your prayer life. Some are coming to help your story life. I know the man that helped shape my, you know, put some, fine tune some things in my doctrinal accuracy. He wasn't my spiritual father. You get the point? But that was the role. So, you need a lot of mentors. That's why in the local church, you see, don't play what I'm going to say. Everybody is not your friend. Because you're all coming to church, doesn't mean everybody. There are people that when they're bringing a hand of friendship, you should withdraw it and give them a hand of mentorship. Don't be friend who should mentor you. Did you get what I said? Don't be doing guy man with who should be mentoring you. Everybody is not your friend. Somewhere there, just like in a big family, there are older children, there are younger children. The older ones are supposed to help the younger ones. I didn't get the point. So, take advantage of mentors. Take advantage of mentors in your life. You must recognize them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. He said, you must know them. Know them that are over you in the Lord. Know them. That's where the job starts from. You must recognize them. We beseech you, brethren, know them which labor among you and are over you. It starts from knowing. Don't be in a place and you don't know people who are over you in the Lord. There are people that God has placed over you to help you. And listen, it has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with gender. I don't get the point. That thing I told you that men don't like listening to women, it's not a good thing, no. It has nothing to do with age. Do you realize, you know, if you read 1 Corinthians 2, is that 2 or 3? There was an argument there. Who to follow, either Paul or Apollos. Remember that? So Apollos was such a big man of God that there were some guys who were saying, I'm for Paul, all of them for Apollos. That was the division. Who was Apollos? Who mentored Apollos? Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila was a man, Priscilla was a woman. Both of them mentored Apollos. Why? They met Apollos. That's Acts, I think Acts 16 or so. Is it Acts 16? They met Apollos. Apollos was a man, very popular. He was teaching. But he didn't know much. All he knew was the baptism of John. I don't get the point. That's all he knew. So Aquila and Priscilla found him, took him in and mentored him on the gospel. So it has to do with age or gender. As a matter of fact, Jesus was younger than most of his disciples. You know this, right? But he mentored them. So when you find mentorship, handle it. And that kind of mentor, you need mentors in different areas of life. Amen? For instance, you need career mentors. You need career mentors. And I'm going to say this. If there is something you are doing that is not ministry, you need mentors there. This is why some of you, you know, don't make much progress. And that thing is pride. You're a graphic designer. You need a mentor. You want to start a business. You need a mentor in that area that will help you. You're a musician. You need a music coach. I get the point. I don't coach people. Why are you laughing? You need such mentors. Okay? You need such mentors. And I was talking about reading yesterday, and I told you, don't just limit it to reading Christian books. Remember I said that? If there is something else you are doing. For instance, some of you, I'm talking about graphic design, I said a lot of graphic design. I said, you're a graphic designer. You need a mentor in that area. Don't humble yourself. You see, there's this statement that people make that is very wrong. It's a popular statement in Igbo land. They say this like, okay, tocho cheri be. You know that statement? That statement is not correct. That statement, what it now means is, okay, tocho cheri be. In other words, we can start off, you can be older than me now, but the time is going to come, we are all now mates, we can sit on the same table. No. Always no. And that's why if you don't make progress. A graphic designer, somebody is better than you. Learn from them. Let them know you're learning from them if you want to. Amen? Don't run a company. Who is mentoring you in that area? And I was telling you guys about this Koskari story yesterday, remember? The story was, he was following the Stanel guy. I'm talking about business now, okay? So, let me to leave preachers now. You know Stanel? The guy that owns Stanel, whatever. He was following Koskaris with everything in him. Koskaris is a believer. Because I'm just coming to God. I'm coming to that he's a believer, but he's also a businessman. He's a wealthy man. He's one of the wealthiest Igbo men alive. But he's a believer. When I mean a believer, you will still see him on the street preaching the word of God. And I heard one certain time, was it that the priest also was trying to drag him? Why is he still carrying a megaphone to preach? Can't he use his... I said, some people there. I don't know why I mentioned this guy in my message. Let's continue. So, but he was following this Koskaris guy with everything in him. He said, Koskaris said at first he thought he was a scammer. Because as rich as he was, you approach him and give him money. Let me get right. He said, every other person comes around him to beg him for money. But you approach him, learn something, give him money. He said he was running. This guy wants to call him my money. You know, when we talk about mentors, we're not talking about picking people that will be begging money. He said he got to a time, that relationship continued, he was just being skeptical. He said he met the guy at Sheraton Hotel, Abuja, and he was just coming down, and the guy met him. Knowing that he's a believer, knelt down before him, and said, just pray for me. And I was like, Stanley, we can do this elsewhere. He said, do it here now, please now. And he said he was embarrassed, so he just put his hand on him, wanted to pray for him. And he felt somebody going to his pocket. So he thought he wanted to steal. I said it. What happened was the guy has stuffed 50,000 into his hand. I didn't get the point. Now, you're talking about a billionaire here. But he wanted to mentor him in business. He said that was the day he went to his guy. He said that he started to take the guy personal. I started mentoring him. It was now when there was now a need or something came up. And he told him, well, I'm going to give you something. Send me your account number. He sent him more than 50 million. Like I told you yesterday. Negative values to you in business. I don't get the point. So if he saved, it will help. It should be saved. And don't tell me, Father, there's nobody I know that is saved. There's no one I know. You know, there are people that are doing well. You look up to them. You look up to them and try to follow what they're doing. So you need mentors. Some of the things you consider, two major things you consider in choosing a business or career mentor. One is excellence. How well is the person doing in his field? How well is he doing in his field? You check out for excellence. Check out for excellence. Glory to God. Glory to God. How well is he doing in his field, in that career? If he's going to mentor you in photography, how well is he doing? And you see, let me say something to you. At every level of your life, you still need a mentor to take you further. You can never get to a point that I don't need any mentor. You do. And that's, for some of us, that may be the missing link in some of our endeavors. The mentor. So, you check for excellence. How well is he doing in his field? Glory to God. Second thing you check for values. How, what are his values? Okay? Are you going, you cannot possibly be mentored in business by a man who doesn't care. He can cheat people, he can dupe people. Those are wrong values. Those are negative values. A man who believes that he can make all his money and spend all the night in the club, burning it. That's, those are wrong values. It will impact, it will rub off on you. So don't just check money or success. Because mentors, they don't just teach you how to get money. They also teach you how to spend it. You get what I said? They don't just teach you how to get it. They teach you how to spend it. And if your mentor is a careless spender, you will follow suit. You'll be a careless spender too. And so, that's why I mentioned, if the guy is saved, it is preferable that he's born again. That will help you. That will help you. That will help you, you know, build the right values even in your business. Are you still here? Are you still here? Glory to God. That will help you build the right values in your business. And so, you need mentors. And one thing I'm going to say is, don't misplace these relationships. Don't be found trying to, you see, to trying to take spiritual advice from a career mentor. People come to your life for different reasons. The fact that somebody is mentoring you in business does not make the person your spiritual father. I follow him. Spiritual father has nothing to do with money. It has to do with money. It's all about God, his leading, and all that. And so, that the third relationships, every man, relationship rather, every man needs in his life, of course, you know, friendships. Every man needs friends. The kind of friends you keep can affect your life, and let me add, can even affect the life of your children. I hope you know. The friends you have in your life now are the people your children will call uncle in the future. You hear what I say? That's the truth. And so, the idiots you have around you now, there are the people that are becoming, when you finally have children, they take position, they're not going anywhere. They will be coming. And they will begin to form mentors for your children too, unknown. I can remember some of you, you remember some of your daddy's friends that used to come around when you were small. This is the same kind of. The friends you have in your life now, they don't just affect your life, they become the possible mentors your kids will have in the future. So if you have drunkards, smokers, yeah, people around you in the future, they will be coming to your house. You can't pursue them. They will come. Unless you now tell the seed, I don't want to be seen in my house. Glory to God. And they will even affect the kind of exposures your kids will have. The kind of exposures. And you know what people say? I have connection. Connection is your father's friends. Do you get the point? Every connection I have now, your daddy's friends. So I know somebody that works in Jamb. Most of them, your father's friends. I know someone that works in social place. He said I should bring my CV. They're your parents' friends. Most of them. Some of you that don't have anybody like that. You've seen why. And so, in choosing your friends, I'll just say three things. One, of course, basically, they must be born again. This cannot be overemphasized. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14. This cannot be overemphasized. The friends a guy must keep, or a believer must keep, must be born again. He said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He said, for what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion had light with darkness? So look notice, what does he call unbelievers? He calls them unrighteousness. What does he call believers? He calls them righteousness. What does he call unbelievers? He calls them darkness. Follow the next verse. Light and darkness. He said, and what concord had Christ with Belial? So he calls unbelievers Belial. He calls believers Christ. Or what part had he that believed with an infidel? You see the choice of words that Paul is using. Verse 16. And what agreement had a temple of God with idols? So the believer is a temple of God, right? The unbeliever is referred to as an idol. He said, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, I will stop there. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. So come out from among them. That's why if you have companies that the guys are not born again, see, as you leave this meeting, shift from them. I was telling you guys on Thursday, one of the things we did for people when we were in school, because we had some people who were, you know, involved in some cults and all that we got saved. The first thing we did was to separate them from that company. Amen? So then we had to make them, we have money, pack out from that place we are living. Because that relationship will damage them. So the person must be born again. The second thing you check out for are their priorities. Even if he's born again, what are his priorities? Is he someone that prioritizes spiritual growth? Does he prioritize God? What does he prioritize? What are the things that matter more to him? Those things that matter more to him will begin to matter to you too. It won't be long. What does he prioritize? Amen. You know, a man must prioritize, we're talking about yesterday, must prioritize God and his work. Secondly, a man must prioritize his family. Thirdly, a man must prioritize hard work, making money, career. Don't keep lazy friends around you. You are in school. A student that is a guy must prioritize God and his work, prioritize his family, and then his books. If you have people that their priority is party before books, that's who you're going to be. So, right priorities. Of course, the third thing I'm going to say are values. They must have the right values. Talk of principles. Talk of standards. I love principled guys. If I see guys that are principled, I love them. I get the point. I love guys that are principled. I don't like people that anything just goes for them. No. I like people that say, I don't do that. You see, anybody that does not have what it doesn't, if you don't have no in your life, you have a problem. If you have no, there should be some things that you say, I don't do that. Amen? So I want to ask you, what don't you do? What are things you don't do? Don't say, I can do anything. No. What do you not do? You can say this like, I don't go there. I don't drink. I don't do this. You have some I don'ts in your life. Don't be a guy that can do anything. You see, which one would they now? Why now? Make run up. You can't be running everything. And let me say something to you, friends. Don't be shy, no matter who you are with, to boldly declare, I don't do that. I get the point. If it's your values and your principle, don't be shy to say, I don't do it. I learned it very early. I can tell you boldly, I don't do this. Just like I was talking about drinking on Saturday, Thursday. I don't drink. I don't take that. You can't intimidate me. You can't make me feel bad for not. I don't do it. You should have things you don't do too. Are you getting the point? So you must have friends that have some set of values and principles. Not people that anything goes. Which one would they now? Maybe we just run out. Don't be running everything. And so friendships, you must choose right. The third kind of relationship you need in your life, okay, you need mentees. I want to talk about this. I'm talking about mentors, I'm talking about mentees. What it means is that every man needs to have some people in his life that he's looking out for. That's where you begin to learn how to be a father, a biological father. You need to have people in your life that you're looking out for. Are you following me? You need to have people in your life looking out for. It might be over spirituality. It might even be in school. First year is coming. That's where people in your life that come around you and helping them get better in their books. You're helping them get stronger. That's where people in your life are looking out for. Spiritually, you're a believer. There's people in your life. And one of the things I'm going to say about that, don't force it. Don't be somebody say, I'm going to mentor you today by 5 by 4. No. Allow it to grow. And you know, one of the things that exposes you to having mentees in your life, it starts from your own life. You know, there is a way you coordinate. Have you met people that you just like them? I just want to follow them. Have you met such people? Just like them. I get the point. As a student, I had different people I was mentoring. Many guys, girls, all about. And I don't ever meet anybody and say, today you're my mentee. There's a way you live. I had two people in class, my classmates, that I mentored for a very long time till we left school. They still call me to today. Let me tell you how I started mentoring them. They were believers. I didn't know. But I had my values. And my values, for instance, some of you know, when it comes to exam, I don't deserve my practice. Now, it's not the type you know. It's not like I don't carry notes. I don't ask. I don't tell. I don't talk. I have no business between the hall. Once I enter the hall, I'm dumb. Amazingly, I'm deaf too. I'm telling you, you'll be calling me. You know some of you, they'll call you and you turn and say, stop calling. I won't even turn. Because I saw somebody that turned and they say, hey, stand up. I was trying to explain. No, I didn't want to say. So me, they're calling me. Guy, bros, I'm writing. That was me. Some people are preaching to you in the hall. The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. How can you, if you help me, I help you. And so, because of that, in my school, once they start writing an exam, they start setting formation. And once that, and you know, whenever you set formation, you shift from the front. So the first two rows are empty. That first row is my seat. Amen? Deliberately. If you meet any of my classmates, ask them. First row. Now, these two girls, one was Chinen. Okay, because you're in a class now. Remember Chinen? Do you know him? Okay. How do I explain now? Chinen was one of them. The girl was. So I used to stay in that front to write my exam. And so, after two semesters or so, one of these girls approached me and said, I am a believer too. I want to do what you are doing. But I don't have the strength. I don't know how to do it. Once they start calling me, before I know I've done, I started telling them and distributing. I say, follow me. I'll make you just of men. I'll make you wicked in the hall. Just follow me. Praise God. And let me say something to you. Because when I was in school, I had a lot of enemies because of this thing. See, be proud of your values. That is how I was trained. My dad didn't train me to be copying people in the hall. I was told that when you enter the hall, and it's because of failed values. That's why you see parents these days arrange, paying for special centers for their children. Don't be that kind of father. Tell your children to have good values. Because by the time you pay for, you feel it's just wayek now. You've taught them to boycott by everything in their life. I didn't get a point. You've taught them to mess everything up. That's what you've taught them. You don't know. So I stay in front. So I said, I told the girl, another girl came. I said, follow me. We did. That's right, the exam. So I'll just tell them, before teach anybody want to teach me, I won't even teach you. I don't even know what to write. So I'm not even here to teach you. So I don't, you guys know, teach anybody want to teach. But once you enter the hall, we sit down. So I sit here. I say, let's no talking to any human being. We want to be calling. If you just want to turn, if I turn and look at you, you face your books. Amen. And I made them have it from. Do you know something? One day, some of you are already thinking I'm wicked. One day, I had some group of girls discussing in class. And they were discussing about pastors that we had in class. And I mentioned in that church in our class, all these church people in this class. I see all of them. There's only one guy that I know that is rape pastor, and they mentioned my name. You know the reason they gave? That's the only one that does not do anything in the hall. They didn't know I was there. So I turned and looked at them. I said, so you people know it is wrong to do exam and practice. I will keep asking those pastors to tell you. I'm quarreling with them for not telling you. I don't get a point. So then I said, if they want to do church, I'm Meronian, you see now. It's in my business. And that's how they saw it. And so, my point is, when you have values, it doesn't matter how people misunderstand it, stand by it. It is my values that things I don't do. And you cannot make me feel bad for not doing them. I don't do them. And that's who I am. Okay? In your profession, you have values. You have things you don't do. I don't do things like this. You're a doctor. You're a barrister. You're an engineer. I don't work on websites like this. I have those values. And keep friends that have such values. And in having that kind of value, and my point is, that's what is going to attract people to want to follow what you are doing. So, for instance, in church, you should, you notice when you are in church, you are very committed, they know you, that guy is a spiritual guy. People automatically want to follow you and want to ask you questions, want to learn from you. Have you observed that? Yeah. And that's how mentorship starts. So, and please don't, when people begin to come around you, don't draw back when they come. Mentees help you get better. Especially if you're a responsible person. Because it means you're going to read further. It means you're going to study further. It means you're going to be on top of your game. Recognize their, your position in their lives and never cross the boundaries. Please write this down. Don't cross the boundaries. One, you are not their spiritual father. Let me add, you are not their boyfriend if they are ladies. Don't try to play the role of spiritual father or try to play the role of boyfriend. You are not a boyfriend. Did you hear what I said? That I'll be calling them in the night, say, I just couldn't sleep. I felt I should call you. Don't cross. I get what I'm saying. If it is mental, let it be mentorship. So I couldn't sleep in the night. I was just thinking. So I said, let me call you up now. Let's be talking. You're already becoming a boyfriend, proper boyfriend. You guys talk. You are mentoring somebody. You guys talk late into the night, around 11, after 11 to 12. End the mentorship. Check out properly. Let's know. Go straight to the point. I had a brother that wanted to check one girl. But he's a man of God. So he came as per mentorship. I'm telling you, real life, sir. I'm not joking. I started mentoring the girl. Every day just come. Have you read the Bible today? Yes. Have you prayed? I'm coming. We'll pray. The only difference is that when he will come to visit the girl in school, he will buy Bonvita, he will buy milk, and all that. I'm still keep asking, have you read your Bible? Have you prayed? And we kept answering. We kept saying, yes, I have. If you know the end of this story. Until the girl got married. The girl brought out the invitation card. The brother became sick. Now, I'm not telling you, it's not figure of speech. The brother became sick. Serious fever. I'm not missing words. So, I got involved in the case because, and I said, that guy is my friend though. Not a small, like a senior friend, you know that kind of thing. He's not my mate. I said, what happened now? Now, see the part of the story that is painful. We approach the girl. We have boldness. And then again, wow, what did you do to our friend? The girl started crying. You know why she was crying? It's actually that guy she wanted. As she was waiting for the guy to talk. So I said, now, wow, they've not done, forget this invitation card. Leave this thing. But by then, the girl already had made a mistake and was already pregnant for the girl that wanted to marry her. So, well, we went for the Ibanku and we dragged the guy to say, let's go. So, doctor, if you want to mentor, mentor straightforward. If you want to check, please go ahead. Don't be forming. Don't cross the boundaries. Don't try to be a mentor. You should know your roles in people's life. You're not a spiritual father. You're just a mentor. You are not their boyfriend. You should know what you have to do for them. Hallelujah. Now, and the third relationship, the last relationship I'm going to talk about before we round this up is, and I'll talk about how to maximize these relationships once I mention this last one. A spouse. Amen? A spouse. Or a fiancé, because it starts from fiancé and then amen. You know, this can determine how far you will go in life. And that's why I normally encourage you every time we teach, never be careless with this choice. Never. Never be careless with this choice. Never be careless. Define what you want. That's where I'm going to start with. Define what you want in a relationship. But define it according to God's word. What did the Bible say? This is what I want. Define what you want in a lady. You know, that's why some people, some of you don't really know what you want in a lady. That's why you keep dating different people. Check all the girls you've dated. All of them have conflicting characters. You really don't know what you really want. I don't believe that a guy should be careless about it. It's something that's gone wild in the world, though. They are dating that one. They are dating that. You just see that one. Say, oh, see, babe. See, babe. And then you go, you should define, what do you want? And what you want goes beyond, of course, there's the physical part should be considered anyway. Do you understand? But it goes beyond that. It starts from a set of values. You don't realize that the lady you marry today will be the mother of your children. Don't be wicked to your kids. If you marry someone that does not have sense, or that's the kind of person that your kids are going to have as mother, don't be wicked. Don't be wicked. Give all truth according to God's word. And remember, don't be in a hurry to choose. Remember Proverbs 19 verse 2 yesterday? Haste makes waste. Yeah. Once you rush over anything, you're going to make mistakes. Don't be in a hurry. And I told you yesterday, there is something in guys that like calling up. We are all guys here. Nobody wants to check a girl and the girl is saying, give me some time. Right? You want as you are talking. As they are talking, she's answering. But let me say something to you. If you check a girl now and she answers you now, be scared. She might not be taking you serious. Unless maybe you guys have been friends for long and things have built up and more, you get the point. And she has been waiting for you to make the move. If you just meet a girl, you don't have anyone, just go to ask her, she say yes, right now. See, let me tell you. You might just be one of those guys. She's not taking it serious. Nobody makes that kind of decision in a hurry. So please don't rush. Well, let me say this to you. Don't rush to choose, then don't rush the ladies. Give them time. Let things build up. You know the reason why some of you, let me talk about this a little. The reason why some of you have not been able to get a relationship in place is because you are in a hurry. You meet a girl that you've not spoken to very well. You guys don't even have anything working very well between both of you. And you play, I love you, card, immediately. She will run. I'm giving you this for free. Take time. Don't say I love you. Build relationship. You guys should be talking. Don't tell what to talk about. Talk about things, ministry, books, movies. Just be talking. Let the girl grow to trust you. Do you know if you build a solid relationship with a lady and you guys are not dating, you already know whether you get a yes or a no. I don't. Nobody can tell me no. Instead of you telling me now, I'm not saying it. But over time, I would have known. You can't just meet someone. You can just greet in church once in a while. And then the next minute, you say, I want to talk to you about something. Talk to me about what? So build. Don't let things build up. Don't rush. Let things build up. Let things build up. You know, one of the most patient men when it comes to relationship in the Bible I've ever seen was Jacob. He went to marry Rachel. And the father said, you will serve me for 7 years. And he did. For 7 years. You know, some people have said, 7 years, because she's the only girl in this whole world. You're not saying. Well, then Jacob was smart. You know, that thing was using one stone to kill many birds. In the process of serving the guy, he was gaining business sense and establishing his own business. It was after the 7 years of service that he had his own. So the guy had sense. He was serving, waiting. But point is, you see, if you know you're going to live with that girl for the next 10 years, 15 years, 30 years, then give time. Give it time. Don't be in a hurry to choose. You can't meet a girl today and want to date her tomorrow. Give it time. Build friendship. And that's why, listen, there are some girls in your life that God brought into your life, not for relationship. They are there to help you for many other things in this life. But you did not know. You went and tried. And once you check a lady, her attitude towards you changes. Have you observed? Some people in your life are not supposed to. They're not supposed to be your friends. They might help you in business tomorrow. I don't get the point. Don't. But then, you guys, just immediately you meet the person. Say, you are the one I've been waiting for. Immediately. The person you are asking at might have a relationship, getting set to marry. You see, you lost before you came. But you will not know because you're in a hurry. But when you guys build friendship, the girl grows to trust you. So you will now know whether to shoot your shot or to hold back. Hallelujah. So give things time. And one thing I'm going to say before I move on to the next thing is, please follow right protocols when it comes to relationships. Don't like jumping protocols. You know, for instance, in this church, we have a protocol. And in that protocol, we insist that if you're going to date someone, we want to know. We want to know the person. We want to know about it. Do you know? And don't be someone that is comfortable with not following protocols. An example is Jacob that I told you. The father of the girl said, "What I want is that you serve me for 7 years." Jacob, if there were some of you, would have jumped whatever. Maybe give her belly first. Then I pass her to get a higher purchase because once she's not pregnant. Learn to follow protocols. And it will keep many of you safe. And I say this all the time when I do singles connect. The reason why some of you are asking girls that and are saying no is because you didn't tell me. Yeah? Because if you had told me, I would have told you not to ask the girl out. Because I already know the girl is taken. But you now move. They will always turn you down. Follow protocols. Let me give an example. I cannot, you see me, I can't go to a lady to kneel down and say, "Will you marry me?" if I don't talk to my pastor first. I can't do it. So that you see it on Facebook. I don't have the grace to do it. There's a protocol to these things. Just say, "Will you marry me?" And then on Facebook, all over the place, he's seeing, he will now call me and say, "I say, Dad, you saw it, right? We did it." I can't do that. I believe there's a protocol to have this. And let me even take it. Some of your homes are not like that. But you can start to build a home like that. Do you know in the olden days, before you take a girl out, you have to come to her house. Come in and greet her parents. And tell them, "Please, I'm taking this girl out on a date." And they will say, "Bring back our daughter on time." Fine. Raise your home like that too. That your kids, it's not wrong. The only reason why girls can't do it now, because the first day their father saw them with a guy, they died. So they don't want to do it. Home like that. That's a protocol to how things should be. For instance, you can't go and be proposing to a girl and we don't know. Let me give you something else for free. You can't go and propose to a girl and your family is not aware yet. So there's a protocol to these things. Don't go and propose to a girl and your father will say no. And you start fighting. Let your father know. Let your family settle these things. I have a friend that did his proposal to the girl. The girl's father, when they heard, they said no. Till today. More than 4 years now. The girl is Lord of the Rings. She's married. Till now. There's a protocol. There's a way things work. Are you following me? That's the way things work. Now, in maximizing your relationships, first, when it has to do with higher relationships, what I mean higher relationships, like fathers, mentors, people that are higher than you, I would say just a few things. The first thing that will help you make those relationships work is forgiveness. And I'm starting with this because I say this all the time. Many guys are not happy with their fathers or their mothers. Many guys, I'll talk about this in the next session. Many guys are not happy with their parents. And if you are going to have a work relationship, you must forgive your parents. And let me say something to you. I say it all the time. If you don't forgive your dad because of the places you feel he failed, you are going to replicate that same kind of thing to your kids. Why? Because you are angry with him, that's what you are meditating on. That's what you will finally release when you have your own children. So, if your parents have hurt you, forgive. Forgive your father, your mother, your mentors, your people that are above you. The first thing that makes it work is forgiveness. Tolerance. Make allowance for each other's faults. That's what the Bible says. To people that are ahead of you, please, if your father has hurt you in any way, don't leave this meeting without forgiving him. Because I know fathers have hurt many people. Some of you, your fathers are even dead. You are still angry with them. You know, somebody told me he's angry with that. I said, why? I say, why didn't he make money? That's going too far. But I know some fathers, I've seen things, some parents failed. Some their fathers married how many wives and didn't take care of any of them. I didn't get the point. Forgive them. If you don't do that, you'll be living in bitterness. And then, you know, that wouldn't profit you anything. So the first thing, now, forgive your father, your mentors, forgive your pastor, because this is a working relationship. Pastors, spiritual fathers annoy people to the last. But that's why they are spiritual fathers. They should be annoying you. Mentors will annoy people. So, put on forgiveness. The second thing that will make that relationship work is, if you want to maintain a working relationship with a higher personnel, maintain, always show a willingness to learn and to grow. You see that thing? It helps. If you show that willingness, every man above you will take you serious. What do you think you come into a family? You come into a church, for instance. It looks like pastor is taking that one more serious. I tell you the key. If they see that you are willing to learn and to grow, they will take you serious. They will. You know, in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, why did Naomi take Ruth serious? Simple. She was saying, everybody, go back, go back. Ruth said, where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. You see that thing that wants to, I want you, it's you I want. Everybody I heard of you will take you serious. That's even in this business, career, mentor, whatever. You want somebody to mentor you. Whenever you're around the person, show that you are ready to learn. That's how to do it. Let me tell you, it's beyond meeting the person and saying, I want you to be my mentor. You can say it and then something is working. I follow what I'm saying. Show that you are ready to learn when you're around them. Show that you're ready to learn and to grow. You know, Elisha was not the only follower that Elijah had. If you read that 2 Kings chapter 2, at different points, there were 50 prophets at Gilgal, there were 50 prophets at Bethel, there were 50 prophets at Jericho. Note, all of them had the same information Elijah had. Elijah had. You observe. At every time they will meet him, I said, don't you know that God is going to take away your master today? Elijah will say, I know. So, it wasn't the hidden information. In the school of the prophets, all of them knew that Elijah was going that day. Why was it Elijah that whatever happened to? There was no willingness. He kept following him. He crossed the Jordan. Everywhere. Sometimes Elijah will say, wait back here. I'm coming. He said, no. Wherever you go, I'm following you. You see that heart that wants to learn. Your fathers don't play with it. Mentors don't play with it. It brings out the best in them. When they see that somebody wants to follow them and want to learn from them. So have that attitude that is willing to learn. That is willing to learn. The reason why you have people you call spiritual fathers, and it looks like they don't really give attention. Sometimes you are the problem. Because you don't show that you really, really want to learn. There is no attitude that shows that I want to get something. I want to learn. I told you now, I record every of my father's conversation. When I'm with my spiritual father, I made that recording, I'm taking notes. And he knows I'm doing that. I did deliberately. If he doesn't know, well, I don't know, but he should know. Amen? It's deliberate. I go there, you know, whatever, because the fatherhood relationship I have with him, he's not in this town, he's in Lagos. So why do you think you see me? If there's any special meeting going on in Lagos, I'm there. I'm making a statement. I want to learn. I don't get a point. Are you getting a point? Those things I'm going for, I can stream them. Buy enough data. Sit in your house and watch. But there is an attitude that shows someone, say, I'm here to learn. When you put up that attitude, every man above you, even in business, try it. You want somebody to mentor you in business or career, show him that you really want to learn. Don't just say it. When you are on, put up attitude that will show that you want to learn. You are asking, one of those attitudes, maybe you're asking questions. Why is this like this? Why is that like that? Once you are that kind of person, the man will take you serious. Are you still here? Third thing that will help you maintain the relationship with your superiors is humility. Humility. I wrote something in my notes. Pride is the undoing of men. Men are proud. You know, Jay? Men are very proud. Men are naturally proud. And it's a very bad thing. You must be humble. When you're related with people that are above you, be humble. Once you can show that you're a very humble person, imagine if you are the one, if you are Peter following Jesus. You know, Peter was older than Jesus, you know, right? much older than him. And one day Jesus was saying, I'm going to die. And Peter told him, called him aside. He said, don't say that. Don't talk like that. You're not going to die. And Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan. Imagine if you are Peter and you're a proud person. See this small boy. You might not say it, but in your heart. So because I brought myself here now to be following you, that's what gives you the mind to now call me Satan. It's okay. Let the service end. If you see me again. But it takes a lot of humility. Proverbs 18 verse 12. Proverbs, it takes a lot of humility. When great men notice humility, they want to teach you. They want to teach you. Proverbs 18 verse 12. So one or two scriptures on humility. He said, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Before honor is humility. That's true. Before honor, put up another translation, before honor is humility. He says, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and... No, verse 12. We are in verse 13. He says, haughtiness goes before destruction. Humility precedes honor. Put up another one. Another one. Maybe amplify. Amplify. Haughtiness comes before disaster. Haughtiness. I want a translation that used a different word for haughtiness. Message said, pride first. Yes, that's what I want to show. To be haughty means to be proud. Pride first, then the crash. But humility is the precursor to honor. When you are with people that are bigger than you. You know, let me tell you, one way to show that you want to learn from someone, when you're around such people, you want to learn from, don't talk too much. I get what I mean? So people come to my office. I'm the listener, not the speaker. They talk. I say, They talk. Are you serious? I say, okay, bye-bye. You must show you want to learn. So humility precedes honor. It always does. It precedes honor. In Proverbs 11 and verse 2. Come on, open it up on your... Proverbs 11 verse 2. Find the same instructions on humility and honor and all that. Glory to God. Are you in Proverbs now? Proverbs 11 verse 2. Let's do it together, everybody. Are you there? Are you there? Let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on. Put your voice here. Let's go again. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Pride brings shame. Pride is the reason why you get into a relationship with someone higher than you. You guys talk once, talk a second time, he shuts you off. You start calling him, he's no longer picking. That may be the reason. I don't get the point. You want something. You know, that's why some guys feel, we are bowing down for somebody. Ah, sir. Good. They feel they are being foolish. You are being wise. That's how to sustain that. That's what I'm saying. I'll keep giving you access to that man's house. Let me say something to you. Every big man I've met in my life, I still have access to them. I know how to maintain it. I don't get the point. If you guys start dragging, that's showing him. Somebody came to my office, was talking to me. You know what killed you? He said, you believe God sent you to come and listen to me. You told me, God told you. And he said, made a statement. He said, you know, as a fellow man of God, I said, okay. And then he made that statement, I knew he was not coming back to that office. Never. He's not a man of God, he's a man of God, but you don't talk like that. Amen. Did you hear what I said? You don't talk like that. As a fellow man of God is what? When I go to my pastor, I'm not a man of God. I'm a boy. Let me say something to you. This is on record. But it took a lot of time, before my pastor knew so much about the size and the strength of our ministry. I don't get the point. Before you knew the size and strength of a man. I don't talk. It's not my topic. We're not dragging anything. I don't get the point. We're not dragging anything. You are there to learn. So humility would help you. Proverbs 26 verse 12. Those are scriptures on humility. Proverbs 26 verse 12. It says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit, there is more hope of a fool than him. Someone that thinks he's wise in his own eyes. See, there is more hope. Probably like NLT. There's more hope. NLT said, there is more hope for fools than people who think they're wise.
You see that thing that makes you feel you know it all, but there is more, because what he's doing is cutting off relationships for you. You know, in a soccer dialect, there's something they say, Nishi Nishi have none. You know what that means? Every head is not equal. To say that two heads are equal is just talk. Some heads are bigger than other heads. In business, some heads are bigger than your head. Don't be forming, you know, as fellow CEOs. No. There are people you meet, you don't form CEO. Just calm down. But you feel you are wise. Message said, see that man who thinks he's so smart. You can expect far more from a fool than from him. This message by the way, someone. Glory to God. Maybe finally on this humility thing, Romans 12 verse 3. I added it deliberately before somebody say it's only Old Testament. What the New Testament say about it? He says, for I say through the grace given unto me, that to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Don't think of yourself higher than you. That is a place where don't think higher than that. That's why in your church, your pastor is not a big blessing to you, because you come around and you wear man of God coats. It's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy you. I'm a lead pastor, but when I go to some meetings, so when they say jump, we are jumping. When they say rush to the altar, we are rushing. You can't see. Sometimes they say rush to the altar. You're just doing, you're walking. See, that man is not to see. He will not take you serious. He wants to see that you want to follow him. And you're humble. And even if you are the man of God, you'll be like that too. I get the point. And in businesses too. In businesses too. I told you, we are all in church. It doesn't mean all of us are equal, even in business. Know your business mentors in this place and respect them. Some people get sense past you in that area. So maximize that relationship by humility. Two more things on protecting higher relationships in your life. I'll talk about courtesy. Courtesy is one of the major things that helps you maintain relationships with people that are above you. Never overstep your boundaries. If someone bigger than you gives you his number, don't mess with it. Don't call by 10 in the night. Don't call before 7 o'clock. Once you begin to overstep your boundaries, you don't have the person who cut you off. I get the point. Learn this thing and forever. Learn it forever. I meet a lot of big people, and this is one of the things. Do you know there are some people? There are some people that they give me their number. You know, big people don't pick numbers they don't know. Do you know? They don't. But if I get anybody's number, I know how to make you pick my call. I know the kind of text to construct and send to you. And I will call and you pick. I can maintain that forever. Don't overstep your boundaries. Because somebody gave you his number, doesn't mean I'm chatting him every day, calling him, hello, guy, this. He will cut you off. I should be saying this. Maybe this on air. I don't know. But everybody has this, so it's not anything hidden. Let me protect the identity. A man of God called me. Let me just protect the identity. People that are close to me know who I'm talking about. Called me one day and said, somebody I've always known. And I'm talking about protecting by courtesy. He called me and said, there's a number I'm going to send to you. He said, that number, people that have it are no more than 10. It's only my family people and few trusted people. But I'm going to give it to you. Anytime you want to reach me with it. Do you think that comes by because we are just talking? I've serviced that relationship and I make sure I don't overcross the boundaries. Guess what? That number he gave me, before I still call, I still send the text, sir, please give me an appointment when I can call you. I do it deliberately. We're that close, but I do it deliberately. Because I don't ever want it to look like I'm crossing my boundaries and then they shut you off. I don't get the point. So in business, you're a politician, for instance, you want to go into politics and then you have access to maybe the governor or whatever. You can, if you play, you should know that that governor's number you have more than 300,000 people have it in that state. I hope you know. And it doesn't answer their calls. If you want him to be answering your call, there's a way to do it. Courtesy is one of them. Everything I've talked about, humility and courtesy. A man allows you into his home. And you feel because now in his home, you can enter anywhere. You can touch anything. He will shut you off. It will not be long. I don't get the point. I teach this to my people over and over again. You get to a home. There are places not to enter. It doesn't matter how much you think you are free in Christ Jesus in that house. There are seats not to sit on, even if he's your friend. Not only do you learn, you see, respect a man, even if, talk about friendship now, respect men in their space. If I come to your house, and this is that, you know, houses have that this seat. I cannot say because I am your friend, I will now go and sit there. I'm dishonoring you in that your space. Do you get the point? I'm a pastor. A lead pastor. I cannot go to a friend's church. He's the lead pastor too. And I go to the major seats that he has to sit and go and sit down there. We are guys, covenant brothers. That covenant does not reach their seat too. What is there in seat? Nothing. Just respect that. And it will preserve many relationships for you. So courtesy. And the last thing I'm going to say in protecting high relationships in your life is diligence. Diligence. You see, Proverbs 22 verse 29 is very clear on that one. Diligence. If you are diligent, if you stay around big men and you are hardworking, they like you. See as though a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. It's his principle. He cannot stand before mean men. You want to stand before big people? Put on everything. Put on humility. Put on a willingness to learn. Be courteous. And then be very hardworking in whatever the mentorship is about. You get the point? If it's about reading, it's about academic, whatever. Be very hardworking in your book. If it's about spiritual, whatever. Let him know, you are hardworking, you are praying, you are studying. That person wants to keep you very close by. Diligence. I don't get the point. You want a working relationship with your spiritual father, what I just told you will help you. You are humble, you want to learn, you are courteous, and you are very hardworking. It's not this one they give you assignment, you submit it 2 years later. He will believe you are not serious. He will keep you far. It will look like, why am I wasting my energy on this guy? Whereas there are people that are crowding in on me that want to learn. They will keep you far. So diligence will help you. Diligence will help you. Have you noticed that sometimes in a sect, you find it looks like some pastors, or pastors generally, sometimes have a stronger working relationship with the females in their church than the males. Have you observed that? The reason is not just because they are guys. It is this thing I'm telling you. You know, ladies are more humble than guys. Do you know? Yeah. Ladies are more humble than guys. They are more humble. They are the ones that want to show, they want to learn. That thing attracts every leader. So they commit more to them. It's the same thing. Are you following me? So once you show that willingness to grow and to learn, it happens. Now, talk about your friends. If you want to protect, maximize relationship with your friends, you do that in very simple ways. One, I'll just say two things. One, avoid strife. We should not be quarreling. You see, strife, envy, competition, jealousy. You see that family? That thing can ruin relationships that would have built, that would have made your future. That's why, James 3 verse 14. That's why when you are, thank God these guys, you know, say we know they keep malice, you know. And don't be a guy like that. It's a proof that you are weak as a man. I'll tell you for free. Keeping malice. The way we are, if something happens, we talk. I get to the point. Are you getting what I'm saying? All this, I don't feel that guy. See, don't keep malice. Except if you just want to end the relationship. But a relationship that God has sent to your life, you have friends around you. He said, if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, lie not against the truth. Verse 15, come up a little, just a little. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. The wisdom that promotes envy is not God's kind of wisdom. I follow him. Envy, strife, fight it. Fight strife. Fight envy. Fight jealousy among friends. See, you see here, some we blow before others. You know what I said? Some we get there before others. Some we land a good job before others. Even among a group of friends. Don't fight. Don't envy. So we move before others. Your placenta is not tied to anybody. What if you're not going to move together? And if you don't envy, and the person is really a good friend, you've chosen the right friends. Once they're moving, they're pulling you to, you're moving to with them. You know what I'm saying? Don't envy. Some will have money before you. You see, you have ministry friends. Some people's church will be bigger than yours first. That is no, don't let envy set in. If not, you're going to destroy many relationships that God has brought to your life. And then you now have small, small children around your life who will just be hailing you. You are the papa. You know, that's a very bad thing. You know, if you have everybody in your life is saying, you are the boss, sir. You're in trouble. But they can correct you. Following me. So deal with envy. Deal with strife. And then that will protect your relationships very well. That will protect it. If something happens, talk about it. Don't be a woman. Of course, I'm not insulting women now in this case. I mean, you know when we say don't be a woman, we mean no women now. No, I'm not insulting them, okay? But no, they can keep things in their heart. And it pisses me off when I see guys behave like that. We are trying to correct the women, and then a guy is behaving like that. Say, I can't talk to that guy again. I can't come to that church again. Are you a child? See, the way they spoke to me the other day, I don't like it. So you are carrying face. We know they carry face. Yeah, you know. Guys don't carry face. You are carrying face. Yeah, don't talk to me. Just. And that's why in your home, you are carrying face for your wife. How can you be carrying face for your wife? It's the women that carry face for their husband. You'll not be telling them, I'm sorry. When you are carrying face, wake up, don't talk to me. And wife is saying, what is it? What is it? Bum boy. You're just a small boy. You need to grow up. You know they carry face. And if you're like that, it's very childish. If you annoy me, my own, I just handle it differently. If you vex me, I'll first be angry. It's not bad to be angry, you know, right? The Bible said be angry, just don't sin. And that's what I'm talking about. I'll vex, but I'll forgive you in my heart. I'll deal with it first. After dealing with it, I'll come and approach you and tell you. That's be straight up. I'll tell you. That's what you did that I didn't like. That I'm telling you, I'm forgiving you. Why I'm going to forgive you is because anything you do that time is not going to change me. Because as some people tell you, say, get out, Joe. Which can it happen? But I'll tell you. And I tell you, I don't know how God helped me develop that. But once I tell you, I'm done with it. You can be carrying face, but once I mention it to you, I can't remember it again. I'll see you and we'll start flowing. So envy, strife. Okay, if your friend blow, go and celebrate with them. And mean it from your heart. I don't get a point. Mean it from your heart. Hallelujah. Now, then I will talk about mutual respect among friends. It helps preserve friendships. Okay, like I already explained it now. If you get to a guy's space, respect him. You guys are friends, respect him. Let me not say much about that. Now, your relationship with your mentees, obviously, you must be willing to pass knowledge to them. That's one way to protect, to maximize that. Three things. One, always be willing to teach them. Always be willing to teach them. Always. Don't hold back information. Secondly, respect them. Why would you say respect mentors? You see, in fatherhood and sonship of mentor and mentee, there is mutual respect. There is an honor that goes from a father to a son and an honor that goes from a son to a father. Now, it doesn't mean you'll be bowing down to them, but there is just mutual respect in fatherhood and sonship. In mentor and mentee, there is a way to talk to people, there is a way not to talk to people. I don't get the point. So there should be that mutual respect them and all that. Let them have mutual respect and know when to release them. People are not going to be under your mentorship for forever. Sometimes there's a time it gets to, they'll have to move on to other people. It doesn't mean they're quarreling with you. It just means it has just happened. Then I'm rushing to something, which is the last thing, second last I'm going to say. I'll talk about your spouse, fiancé, and the rest of them. Amen? If you know how to make your relationship with your fiancé work. Amen? Praise God. The first thing is, you must love your woman. And the kind of love we're talking about is as Christ loved the church. That's Ephesians 5 verse 25. There is a model love we find in Christ. That's how to love women. Or the best thing God has given you as a spouse, as a bride. Husbands love your wife even as Christ has loved the church. What is the first thing we find in the love Christ had for the church and gave himself for it? So that love is sacrificial. It gives. So the love that you must have for your woman must come, must have sacrifice. Sacrifice. Next verse, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. See verse 27 is very key. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself. You see, this is very interesting. So God, Christ gets the church, cleans up the church, and presents the church to himself. So it looks like it's Jesus that prepared his bride to his taste and presented his bride to himself, the kind of bride he wants. That tells you that men define their wives. Do you get what I said? So there are things you don't say to your woman. Men define their wives by all means. You form her. If she's going to be a baby, whatever, you're going to, they don't want to make her like that. The first time a woman came into the picture in the Bible was Eve. Who named Eve? Who spoke over Eve first? Adam. He says, this is bone of my bone, shall be called woman. So it's women, it's men that name their wives. That's why you love your wife. That's, you know, notice you can love a woman and love her. You know, love and care is how to get to the soft spot of every woman. I don't get the point. Follow what I'm saying. That's in love and care. Do you know that's why some women know that this brother is not born again? They know that this brother is not anything good, but they're following him because the guy can care. Have you seen that happen anywhere? Women go for it too. You know, a girl in school, this is a very pathetic story. And that's why you must not be that kind of guy. A girl in school that I was supposed to mentor and all that. And she had this, she was in first year, she had this relationship from home. You know, she was there to me before she gained the admission. And they were good, they were going. Suddenly, one guy came into the picture. This guy, there was nothing to write home about him. He wasn't fine. He wasn't anything. I was wondering, is this girl not seeing what I'm seeing in this guy? He was even a court guy. Normal guy. But he was there for the girl. Every day, the girl said, I told you I don't want you. You will come, buy this, do that, come. You know, that care until that girl broke up our relationship. But the rest of the story did not go well. The guy now even moved into our house. You see, all these people that enjoy moving into ladies' house, you know, I wonder about that yesterday. You can't be that weak. You're living off a woman and you're happy. Moved into his house and started, you know, into our house. The girl was now taking care of him. He will now be the and to couple whatever, he will be beating the girl. Nothing we didn't see in school. I now tell the girl to leave the relationship. Yes, I don't know. Well, don't worry. One day I'm going to address abusive relationships. It's a very bad thing. You know, people say once they beat you, leave. You know, it's not easy. Even men that their women used to beat cannot leave. You know why? One is why you cannot say why you left. When I ask you, why did you break up a relationship? They say, you understand. You know, all your friends will say, that girl makes sense. So that girl is a good girl. And I wow. Why you can't leave him now? He said, no, you don't understand. I've been suffering. And so, you love. Second thing in your spouse, whatever, is to honor your spouse. Friends, this thing I'm saying, maybe this evening, I'm going to talk about it. Honor your spouse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. You see, that thing that makes you feel that women should be under, women should be intimidated, women should be, that thing is a curse upon your life. And I didn't say it to insult you. It's a curse upon your life. Do you know where that thing came from? That thing came from Genesis 3. When God told the woman, from now, your desire will beat your husband and he will rule over you. That thing was the consequence of the mistake that Eve made. I get what I'm saying? Jesus has come. We are redeemed men. We cannot be living
I'm following the dictates of Genesis 3. You can't want to rule a woman because it's likewise, see husbands, dwell with them, that's your wife, according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. When the people say, we are weaker vessel, it doesn't mean that the woman is weak. I've explained weaker vessel here for you many times. You come to your house, there are many plates. There is stainless plates, there is rubber plates, there is plastic, there are breakable plates. The breakable plates are the weaker vessels. So what do? You give them honor. You treat them specially. That's how he was using to explain how you treat your wife. This generation of men that talk women down, we have not learned that in Christ. Are you getting me? Talk women down, insult them, get out. You see, I tell my daughters, a man doesn't have to beat you. If he's verbally abusive, just leave. You didn't learn that in Christ. Just get out, idiot. You should honor that woman. Instead of saying, you're now naming her. You've named her idiot. You've named her get out. You've named her. Don't worry. Later, she'll be behaving like get out, behaving like idiot. And it will be you that formed her like that. Honor your woman. One of the ways to honor them, for instance, is to listen to what they have to say. What they have, listen to what they have to say. Honor them. Honor. And that's what we begin to learn from you. Those are some of you who begin to do it once you get married, you forget. You know, they say things like, I don't like church guys. The reason is because I'm telling you, church guys don't care, they don't love, and they don't honor women that pray. You take a girl out, a girl you want to marry, both of you come down from the car. You think it's a cake to come and open the door for her. So what's that one? All those small things, you now hear the girl say this like, he treats me like a queen. That is it too. It's not money. I don't get a point. You're working with a girl. If I learn this in general, you're working with a girl, you guys get to the door. Open the door. Hold it, let her pass, whether it's your girlfriend or not. Say amen.
Amen.
Hold this, let her pass. You're not going to die. I will practice this from tomorrow. You won't die. You see, there's this honor. The man begins to say, he treats me, you get into a restaurant, you want to take a girl out, you guys get to a restaurant, hold the seat. Let her sit before you can sit. You know, my pastor, I heard this from for the first time. You know me, I'm a village boy. I don't know these things. He was talking to us one day. He said, when you are dating a lady or you're in a relationship with a lady, or you're married to a lady, and your wife comes in, maybe an eatery, she comes in. He said, you must stand up to welcome her. I say, hey. He said, if you're sitting down and she comes in, you stand up and hold the seat, let her sit down. Hey, I say, no, wow. But I'm thinking about it. It shows you recognize that somebody entered. It's simple honor. It doesn't mean, of course, they should submit to you. You give them honor. That's what I said. There's an honor that goes from the wife to the husband. There's an honor that goes from the husband. That's why you don't shout at your wife in the public. The same way she cannot talk to you anyhow in the public. Don't shout at your wife in public. That was a girl I was close to. That year. I was even considering this girl. Thinking something was working. I wonder, I was with my friends, we are walking. And I don't know what I said to her that got her angry. And she gave a long sigh and walked out on me in front of my friends. So my friends say, what happened? I said, nothing. That's just how she is. That day, we ended. Every closeness. No, you know me now, straightforward. I don't have strength. One day will now be in church here. Somebody will now carry back and walk and pass me. Maybe I'm preaching and I say, baby, come, let me whisper something. I'm trying to talk to her. He said, I don't want to. Inside church. And you guys now be wondering, what's happening? You'll be too holy to think it, but you say, are they quarreling? But there will be quarrels, so, but it should not happen in the public. I get what I'm talking about. Now, you should, that same way, I shouldn't one day see my, I say, hey, come here, come on. You don't do like that. You don't do like that. You honor women. That's what we learn in Christ.
You honor women.
Christ, you know, I believe the reason women are fighting for gender equality is because you know, all these fights, feminism, they've not seen real men. A real man, a woman will be, because the reason why women are scared of submission is because most times they've tried to submit and the men march on their head. Have you seen that in many places? I have. The real man in Christ, the woman submits, and you see, we submit to Christ. He doesn't still intimidate us. Don't look at how Christ loves us. We are submitting to him more. Yet he allows us to have our way. That's how a woman should be loved. You honor her. You honor her. And let me say two more things on this guy-girl relationship. Please, I want to say something to you. Be commitment ready. Write it. In Jesus' name. All these men hate commitment thing. Don't put yourself in that category. Men don't hate commitment. The man we are modeling is Jesus. He's committed to one bride all his life. The church. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 36. I'm coming to that shortly. Don't put it up yet. Leave it. Stay with one woman. Be ready to. If you are not ready to commit. Let me calm down. If you are not ready to commit. Stop. Stop asking ladies out. I'm telling you this thing. And not just ask them out. Stop playing with their emotions. I get it. You know you don't want to commit. You say, I didn't check out. You didn't check out. You didn't check out, but you're doing everything. You know you're toying with that girl's emotion. And you're doing, did I ask you out? Most times that girl, I see guys say things like, that girl is disturbing me. No, you are the problem. Instead of buying her banana, instead of buying her candy crush, he started doing everything for her. And then she was now falling, and doing the, and next thing, I don't want to, we're just being friends. Stop it. You can't learn that kind of thing in Christ. Stop it. And the girl is busy thinking, you know, somebody says something and it's very funny. All the girls are in a relationship. All the guys are single. So, who are the girls dating? Because the girl in her mind, I have someone. The guy, nobody else. Papa, it's not yet time. We are still watching. Stop it. Stop talking. I'm saying this because I'm a pastor. I stand in this office. I see a lot of ladies come to complain to me. And I hear this all the time. Even about some guys in this place. I may not know you are doing it, but if you are doing it, stop it already. If you don't want to, don't push things that far if you don't need to make commitments. And some even push so far and now begin to touch the women, begin to sleep with them, and yet you say, I'm not doing anything with them. First, touching and sleeping with a woman is even wrong in his own, on its own, even if you are dating the person. Not to talk of, you are not even dating the person, and you are touching the person, you are kissing the person. I said, nothing, no. But those friends with benefits. Who taught you that nonsense? Stop it in Jesus' name. Be ready for commitment. Real men love commitment. You should love to commit to one thing and stay through with it. Your wife should be able to know that this guy is a committed person. And let me say something else that maybe I'll just say this. See, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 36. Thank you, Father. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 36. It says, if any man think that he behaved, because he was talking about why a man should not sleep with a woman and all that. He said, but if he thinks he's behaving comely towards his virgin, that what means his fiancée or something. If she passed the flower of her age and it so required, let him do what he will. It's not. See, put up NLT. Let me show you. Look at the screen. If a man thinks that he's treating his fiancée improperly and will inevitably give in to his passion, that is maybe to sleep with her or something, let him marry her as he wishes. It's not the same. Once you want to start dating, be thinking marriage. And let me even advise you guys. Okay? Marry. And marry early. Now, listen. There are no hard and fast rules to this. You know, I was sharing with my workers recently. I was telling them the reason why I decided, because
when I was growing up, I decided I was going to marry at 26 years. I told you guys, that was my decision. It was the call of God and some things that God had to tell me. But see, normally it is good to marry early. You don't want to be doing school run at 50-something. Say amen.
Amen.
See, I learned this long early enough. If you find a girl that you love, and she's everything you want, and you can take care of yourself, you can at least... See, this thing of men wanting to blow before they get married, read all the stories of great men you know. They don't have that story. Think about it. Read all of them. I'll start from my own world. I'm a pastor. Ushobedekwe will tell you, I was in one room apartment. All of them. Pastor Debe, are you getting the point? But now we want to blow because we want to do a lavish wedding. And that's why we no longer find what we call true love. Because once you blow, we love you. If you can find someone you love, and you can provide for yourself, you can house, don't marry when you're still in your father's house. You can at least house yourself and provide food for yourself. Marry. If she will not marry you that time, she's not the one for you. She's not the one for you. It means she doesn't believe in you. Marry. In Jesus' name. If you are thinking relationship, be thinking marriage. Be thinking marriage. Do you know why? You know, from 50, life starts in another dimension. I get what I'm saying? It is good that by that time, your kids are already at a certain level. For some of you in ministry, when you begin to give for something 50-50 something, God may begin to lead you to global evangelization, start traveling too much. It will be good that you can enjoy your wife while the children have moved on with their life. I didn't get a point. So if both of you, if God says, let's travel to, because baby, let's go. What are you doing this weekend? Nothing. Let's just hang out. The kids have moved on with their life. Don't wait. There are different cases. I'm not saying it's a problem. That's why I don't like, there's no hard and fast rule to this. Okay? There are some people, for instance, some person, because of the condition of their family, they didn't even start life early. You get the point? They didn't even start school early. It's a different case. But where there is nothing holding you back, you have a job, you have something that at least can provide for you, get married. Except you've not found anybody, get married. Don't rush it though. But once you find the person, you've prayed, you've taken up, get married. You see, your wedding must not be big. You know, I told, you know, when they came for premarital class, I told them, even with 200,000, you can do wedding. Fine wedding. Say amen. You just thought about cooking. Who said you must cook? Who asked you to cook? They're the one that is making life difficult for yourself. Just marry. Don't spend all your money to wed and not have money to do the marriage. You used all your money to do wedding and yet you now marry. You just lie down to enjoy your wife and then you get a call. Nah, eka hijim. Because you borrowed, you are owing DJ. You are owing souvenir people. You are owing... We even say that's how wedding should be done. Who said there must be souvenir? So on a serious note, who said those things? Who said they must have souvenir? Who said all those things that they said? Nobody said anything. Do your wedding. And start early. One room apartment. And both of you can stay married. The only problem is, don't remain at that level. Grow from there. And this generation of young girls that don't want money, that don't have money, are not your wives. I'm just telling you, they are not. A lady should be able to believe in you. I'm not saying you should be broke. But if a lady sees that you are hardworking, you are pushing things, are building up, and she still says no until you buy G-Wagon, you and your G-Wagon die. Those kind of women cannot marry David Oyedepo. They can't marry David Obuel. They can't marry, big people. Obama was not a president when they gave birth to him.
A woman agreed to marry him as a pauper, and then he grew to that level. I get what I'm saying. So, ease of the pressure. Ease of the pressure. If you have a woman you love and you have money, marry in Jesus' name. Come, we'll wed you. You don't have money for reception, pay for hall. We give you a church hall. We can redecorate it for you. A very amazing reception. Yeah. You see, I like the fact if you marry, it's fine. If you so wish that you don't want to give birth yet, fine. Why don't enjoy your wife? I get what I mean. Decide not to give birth. Do you know what it does? It keeps you, when you have a woman in your life, it keeps you very focused. On like jumping from A to B, from C to D, you are testing the waters. Keta mangon ka, you're looking for the ripe one. Why not just shut up and just settle down and pick somebody? Unless you're not at that level, you know, if you're still in school, you're still at a certain level, fine, stay clear of women. Stay off women. If you are ready to get married, be commitment ready. And because of this commitment thing, that's why you don't jump into any relationship. Because you know, once I enter, I'm in. Build a culture of commitment. Commitment to church, commitment to life, commitment to everything. Build a culture of commitment. Amen? And if you have friends in this world that are dating to other people, after this, tell them to break up with those things. Break up with all of them. And know what you want for your life. You should be trusted. So marry in Jesus' name. I said marry in Jesus' name. And let me say something. I don't know why God is going to say this. For some of you in ministry, your ministry, listen, my guys, marry early. If the Lord is restricting you in any way, because I think I've explained some of this to some of you guys, there are sometimes the Lord will have you get to a certain level in life before, in ministry, before he allows you to get married. Sometimes, if there is no such thing from God, marry. I said it again. All the big shots, big men of God, you know, all of them started life when they were in one room. This is why those women could build with them to where they are standing today. You've heard about Pastor Deboye's own story. Deboye was telling a story of, say, one certain time, they got married newly, they just had one child, but so money finished in the house. There was no food. The only food that was available was Cerelac. For the baby. So they drank Cerelac for 1 week. Amen? Now, don't enjoy poverty. Say amen. So when you see Bishop honor the wife the way he honors her, they are coming from somewhere. Not to react. They are coming from somewhere. But make sure you have a vision. Amen? Have a vision. Have where you're going to. Not just have a vision in your heart. Have something you're working on. Be able to feed yourself at least. And one extra person. Be able to pay for your rent. You know, I mean, basically, I'm not saying you don't have money. You're not saying, Pastor said you should marry. No. Once you have those foundations laid, get a good person for yourself. Marry her as you wish. It is not a sin. That's what the Bible said. Glory to God. And instead of dating somebody's child, and sleeping with the person up and down. Marry. I get what I'm saying. Marry. You don't have money to marry. But you have friends to be having sex. Choose one. Either you end up that relationship or you marry the person. In Jesus' name. So, be commitment ready. Don't subscribe to this worldly mindset of owning billions before you do your wedding. I don't even like it. The ladies are not here. I would have given them an advice. Because that's one of the reasons why men mistreat women. The guy has suffered all his life to get to 1 million, 3 million, 100 million. He has been buying things. The woman is just like another asset he has bought for himself. He is so sure that the woman agreed because of money. I don't get the point. He's so sure that's what the woman agreed. So he can treat me how? What do you want? I can be beating you.
I can be insulting you. I can be cheating on you and buy you G-Wagon and buy you estate and buy you house and you should be fine. Don't subscribe to that mindset. Amen. If you couldn't make so much noise at your wedding, that is 10th year anniversary, then you'll be richer. Did you get what I said? If you couldn't do that, it's 25. You're not dying early. You don't know. You're in this church. I get the point. You're not dying early. Even if it's an anniversary, if you want to celebrate, just celebrate. It's no money. Don't come under unnecessary pressure. Glory to God. Then, last thing I'm going to say on making your relationship work for your spouse is, please work on your weaknesses. Don't expect any woman to manage your weaknesses. If you have anger issues, work on it. If you are quarrelsome, a guy should not be quarrelsome. Hope you know. Work on it. If you have issue with women and ladies, work on it. Because those personal issues you don't work on will now impact your relationship when you finally get it. I get the point. If you have anger issues, work on it. Men that beat their women. You see, physical abuse is the last stage of abuse. I said I'll still come to abuse later, not in this meeting. It starts from verbal abuse. That's the first stage. If you have that as an issue, stop it. Work on it seriously. You always insult women. Or insult people. Get out. Idiot. Don't use cuss words. If that's what you are, work on it. Don't expect to marry and say she doesn't want to manage me. Half of the time you say the woman left you because of money. It's not true. She left with your bad attitude. Because the person she will possibly marry might not have as much money as you have. So if you have anger issues, you have issues with women, work on it. If you want to work on it, begin to grow spiritually. Talk to somebody that will help you. Just work on it and get better. Glory to God. Our time is spent. So pray for your relationships. Pray for the right relationships. Pray for the existing relationships. Repair broken relationships. Manage the existing ones with wisdom. And you will make a lot of progress in your life. Are you blessed this morning? Amen. So I will just do we have questions? Are there questions? Anybody? You do? If you do, just wave your hand. I'm not gonna say you should write it, okay? And it's deliberate. Because sometimes when they say write it, it's because you are shy to ask it. But a guy should not be shy, a guy should be bold. So if you have a question, raise your hand and ask. Do you have a question? Fine, get the mic for him. A guy should be bold. You don't write. You say it. You're able to stand in front of people and talk to them. We were talking about it yesterday. That's leadership.
All right. Praise God.
Yeah.
So this question was coined from yesterday's redefining masculinity. The question is, how should a man behave when his wife earns more than he does?
Okay, when his wife earns more than he does. Very important question. That, you know, it can happen. And if you are weak as a man, what you will do, either you start competing with her or you tell her to stop the job. That's weakness. You see, that's where one of the things that you must have as a man is a good, healthy esteem. You are the man of the house, whether you have more money or not. Now, what you should do, first of all, of course, you should work harder, but not as per competition. But then, still see yourself as the breadwinner of that family. Don't think because she has more money, she has to be providing. Still plan the finance of the family around your money. Do you understand what I said? Still, don't become irresponsible because you feel she's earning more. If she wants to support, which she should be doing, amen, she should. But then, in fact, let me put it this way. Still be buying her gifts. Don't act like she's earning more, so she should handle her things by herself. Are you kidding me? Still plan around children's school fees. Still buy her gifts. Still do this. Don't think because you're earning more, I should be doing this for you. No, she's a woman. Women want to be taken care of. So while you're working, don't compete with her. Don't fight with her. Don't quarrel with her because of that. Still take care of her and play your role as a man while you work harder. I don't get the point. And moreover, I'd like you to know that in the home,
it is both of you that is both of you guys are a team. You guys are not fighting against each other. So when it happens, be confident and know that, and don't play with self-esteem. Still, and don't lose guard on your manly duties in the home. You have duties. Okay, you see the one. It's not different when you bring out whatever. She will now say, oh no, I think I have more. Let's get a point. But still assume your responsibility. Even if it's 30,000 you have, plan around the 30K. And work harder so that you get stronger. Amen. Any other question? Okay. Just 2, 3. Okay. And we are done.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, my question is it advisable to marry someone maybe that is over your ministry? And how will you balance honoring her as a wife and then honor the person as?
Wow. Amen. Someone that's over in ministry. Well, that can happen. It can happen and it's not wrong. Right? Because all the people you know as prophetesses or whatever in the Bible had husbands. Deborah had a husband. Did you get the point? Yeah, so it can happen. Nobody says that if a woman is standing in ministry, she should be single or she must marry somebody above her. Moreover, the lady should be mature enough to know that you are her husband in the house. Okay, so in the house, you are a husband. She should submit to you in the house as a husband. That's what the Bible teaches. But then when she is standing in that her office, you should respect that office. What it means is, if she's the pastor of the church and she says, everybody is going to fast tomorrow. Fast. I don't get the point. Don't say things like, and people say, I can't do that. Well, it shows we're coming to you in the next session. It shows you are weak. Because when you have a held esteem, such things don't move you. It's esteem. You're trying to fight. If she says fast, fast. When you come to the house, she's your wife. You can say, I want to eat a goodie soup tonight. And she has to prepare that a goodie soup that night. That's why, before you do that, you must be sure that the lady in question is well matured. If you get the point, it's well, it's not all these people that just grew and then they're insulted all over the place. Well matured. So you honor her as per, not because she's your wife, but because she's a minister. Because even if she wasn't your wife, you would have still honored her as a minister. I don't get the point. You would have still done that. If a lady is your pastor, whether she's a wife or not, you would have still respected her. So if you're going to respect her if she's a pastor, then even if she becomes your wife, fine. She should honor you when it comes to the office. If she's teaching the word, don't say, it's just my babe talking. No, take notes. If she's well trained, she will also know where to draw the line so that she will not step on your toes. You get it? But she will also know where to draw the line. She will know not to order you around in public. That's why it comes to maturity. But you play your own role very well. If she's teaching, take notes. If she's praying, honor her. Say amen. Receive it. You get the point? But in the home, she be well trained. So it's both of you. It's both of them and all that. Amen. So let's have the next question.
Okay. Thank you, Papa, for the teaching. All right. My question is, you were just talking about spouse. And the last thing you just said is, you said, work on your weaknesses. And you said, pray for your relationships. My question is, you've already pointed that working on the weaknesses, the person should commit to spiritual growth. Now, I'm trying to know, is there any room for probably letting, you are working on the weaknesses because of the woman, actually. Now, is there any point letting the, or is there any need? Is it need?
Letting her know.
Letting her know that you are working on this thing, or letting her know of the stuff.
Well, first of all, you are not working on the weakness because of her. That is the first thing. You're working on it because of yourself. Because even if she's no longer in the picture, you still need to work on it. It's a weakness. If you have anger issues, it's a weakness. Whether you are married or not, you should not have anger issues. Okay, that's the first thing. But then, letting her know, well, I wish this question was a bit more direct and personal, maybe. But then, it's not bad. She already knows you have it. So if she complains about it, you can let her know and tell her, sorry, I'm really working on this. And I promise you, I'm really working on it. You get the point? There's a place for that. But the basic motivation is not her. It should be you and your personal spiritual growth. You understand? Okay, let's have you.
My question is there anything that, like, any connection between responsibility and submission? Okay, in that, because I've seen some men that when their children come to them, like, maybe for all this money, maybe like school or anything like that, they'll be like, come meet your mom. And then, very soon, maybe like a time will come when the wife will start, well, I say, losing the respect that she has for the husband because of, like, all this same responsibility stuff. So, I don't know, but, like, is there anything that connects responsibilities and submission?
I may not understand the question, but let me address something. There are roles in marriage. Okay? There is gender role in marriage. This thing I said there's no gender role in marriage is not true. There is a role. A man has some roles in the marriage. For instance, provision is the man's role. You understand me? Now, that doesn't mean it is his only responsibility, but it is his responsibility. So, a man should not build that culture of saying, go and talk to your mother. Even if the woman has to contribute and all that, treat it as your... If you don't have, it's a different case. You get the point? For instance, when I teach my ladies, I tell them, keeping the home is a woman's role. I hope you know. It's not African culture. It's in the Bible. Amen? The Bible was talking about widows. I think in the book of Titus or Timothy or so, talking about widows. He said they must teach women to be keepers of their home. So there are gender roles. So don't overstep it. And naturally, it's not good, but naturally, once you begin to leave those responsibilities for your wife and all that, she'll naturally start feeling you're not important. So know your responsibility, man them and walk. Yeah, but don't push it over. There could be tough days. But even if they are tough, maybe a guy loses his job, the woman is one that has more money, and for that time she's providing, still show some sense of responsibility. The fact that you don't have money for now to provide, the woman is handling it for the meantime, does not mean you should not stand up to other duties that are in the house. You get the point? Stand up to other duties and all, and then go out there and try to make ends meet. There are many things to say, but then, I think there's one more question. Okay, Reverence, and then we close. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's take that.
Praise God. Papa, I have two questions.
Okay.
All right. The first one, I want to know your take on age. You know, like they used to say, maybe my stage now, the girls that are serving with me now, some guys, the normal routine is that I cannot marry those people that I'm serving with.
Okay.
Or my age mates, because they are aiming for people above me. So I want to know your take on age, relationship wise. Then the second question. I'm not surprised that most of the questions here is on spouse, but this question I want to touch spouse and mentorship. You know, you mentioned for mentorship, when it's a guy that is mentoring a girl, you should make it clear when he wants to switch to relationship. Now, let's switch it around. When
if it is the
girl,
lady mentoring the guy.
And the guy wants to...
Glory to God. Wow. Okay, fine. I will answer it. The first question is about age. There is no hard and fast rule to this age thing, okay? But you should be wise. You should be wise. When do you want to marry? If you want to marry in 3-4 years' time, there are ladies are in a hurry. You are 27, you want to marry in 3 years, that maybe when you are 30, that's your plan. Leave all those days that are 20. Unless they're ready to wait with you. Ladies are in a hurry. You get the point? They're in a hurry, kind of. In fact, that's why I tell people, falling in love is with sense. You cannot be a graduate, you are working, you want to marry, and you are loving one first year, and just getting the admission. There is no love. Unlove the person. There is wisdom in this. However, if you are serving, or you are delivering your life, and you feel you like this girl, and you are ready in 1 year time, or 2 years time, you can tell her, it's okay, there's no rule. People marry their age mates. As a matter of fact, people marry people older than them. It's not still bad. If you cannot do it, most times the reason is there's an issue with esteem here. You get the point? I have people that marry that older than them. It's not bad. It's not bad. The people I even have an issue with are the ladies. I normally ask them, can you do it? Because some of the ladies have an issue with respect. I can't respect that guy. I'm older than him. But then, it's not bad. So if you feel the lady can wait for you and you're ready, fine. But if not, let them go. Don't marry someone that you know will not be able to. Don't date someone that you know that will not be ready to wait for you till when you are ready. So date with your sense. I don't know if I answered the question well, but then there's no rule to it. But then, mentorship and switching. Well, let me tell you something that will help you. When you want easy thing that will help you, it's mentorship, Jay. Mentorship. Come talk to a spiritual father. And if possible, they get spiritual father. The job becomes easy from there. Because this automatically means that, okay, you know, you are liking the girl, but she's just busy mentoring you. But you're liking the girl. Now, talk to your pastors about it. They will know how to take it on. Secondly, you know, there is a way, begin to keep respecting her, learning from her. But then, the problem is, are you done learning? Because I may say what I want to say now, and it will stop from there. Don't stop learning. Keep, continue the learning. But begin to treat her like a woman. You know what I mean? Begin to treat her well, and begin to treat her special. She'll begin to like you too. While you are humble, you are learning. It doesn't mean start asking her, hey, baby, I love you. You can't call her baby. She's your mentor. But you can begin to treat her like... I get the point. I tell you what, you can begin to treat her like, treat her well. You're trying to look out for her, trying to be there for her. But then talk to your pastor about it. They know what to do. If your pastor says that it's genuine, we know what to do. We can call the girl and say, have you considered my servant, Job? You know it. He has been a faithful man in this vineyard. What do you have to say? Yeah, we can do that. It makes it very easy. But there's a way you approach it, it will become dishonor. It will become dishonor. So while you are learning, you can begin to treat her well, but then talk to your leaders about it. Your leaders will know how to handle it and know what to do. It happens many times. But as a matter of fact, this, you know about this couple, this ministry couple, Charles and Francis Hunters. You've heard of them? Yeah, Francis was the minister. She was a popular, she has been married before, but her husband died. She was the popular minister. And so, very popular, Charles has even read her books. You get the point? So when she was going to visit their church for a program, so Charles offered the pastor to the pastor, let me be the one to drive her. Francis refused at first, like, how can a particular man, I think he has plans. But after much thing, he drove her throughout in that program as a minister, protocoled her, you know, did everything, and they had a relationship, and they got married. I didn't get the point. So it happens, but it must be managed very well. And both of them went on to do great and amazing ministry. If you've read about them, they did amazing things. Because what happened was that mentorship relationship continued until Francis even brought Charles up to her level, you know, in ministry, and they did. Who has said about this couple I talked about? When I mean twisted bones straightened by their hands. These people, these guys, you are amazing. But that's how it started. So it can happen. Okay, but then it must be managed very well. Because what I think in the story, Charles had to talk to his pastor. The pastor that invited Francis. He gave Francis like, look at what I want to do. And all that. And then from there, ministry moved to the permanent side. So ministries can move. Amen. Now our time is spent. Well, we'll
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.